We've been spending some time with Rolf on parenting, and he's touched on a whole lot of interesting stuff around that. And if you've missed out on that, I'm going to really encourage you. It's not only for parents. That's why we actually asked him to minister on it last week, because there's a lot of stuff there that is very relevant, whether you're anywhere close to children or not. It's very relevant for us personally, you know, the different stages of maturity, etc. One thing he didn't mention last week, which I found very interesting, he said that before, that your level of maturity is kind of determined by what it takes to overwhelm you. For an infant, a few days old, you know, it doesn't matter what it is, thinks it's going to die. You know, like you were saying, you know, it's the nappy is wet and it's just the alarms go off because this is the end of the world and it's gone. I'm not seeing any way out of this type of thing, you know. And so it's actually, I wonder if you even can get all of those recordings we made from the parenting seminar, I would really encourage you to do that. Because it kind of gives examples of, you know, even if you see stuff in your own life, like, when I freak out, if say Anna bumps the car or something and I go off the walls and I freak completely out, then it's not really age-appropriate behavior, you understand? Because that shouldn't overwhelm me, because I will not die, and we will still be okay, even though there's a mark on the car. Don't worry, I don't normally freak out about stuff like that. But yeah, in any case, it's really interesting because you notice stuff about yourself and you realize, okay, the way I've responded now is not really fitting. You know, if you kind of just freak out at your housemates or something, then you notice infant behavior in yourself and you realize, okay, something went wrong in that stage of my life and I have to kind of trust God to get healing on that. In any case, but now we're going to spend some time looking at relationships. And might not be relevant in your life at this stage, but I'm just gonna lay a bit of a foundation this evening, and cover quite a bit. Is it a funny topic? Is it a funny eyes on the prize? There, is it intriguing? So a few smiles when that came on, but in any case, so let's see how that goes. But any case, you know, since Anna and I are also coming into the parenting season, when you think, you know, start thinking about kids and the generations coming after you, whether that be physical or spiritual, I don't know about you. I think about, you know, what is the life story that I'm going to be able to tell when I'm old? What is that? You know, when I'm a grandfather, or when you're a bit, you know, maybe at the end of your life, whether you're a grandfather or not, you want to tell stories. It doesn't matter who listens, whether it be your grandparents, your grandkids, or children, or whoever listens. You want to tell them the stories. You know, I don't know if you've had somebody like that in your life telling you stories about this stuff. And you know, my uncle tells us stories about the Second World War when they had to hide under the floor. Boards of the house when the Russians came, and it was crazy stuff, you know, and he was a little boy and they had to escape in the night and row over from the island to the, you know, just like amazing, you know, and then, you know, I think there's something in each of us that wants to have like that kind of a life story to be able to tell. And in scripture we see absolutely incredible life stories. I don't know if you've seen one of the two of them lately, but amazing things, you know, amazing men and women of God having incredible experiences with God, experiencing His power and His presence, and having lots of stories to tell, and really inspiring and encouraging. And one of them is the Apostle Paul, and if you, you know, listen to some of the stories he's got to tell, some of them you think, wow, this is cool. Some of them you think, okay, Lord, spare me from that one type of thing. You know, but incredible things that he's endured for God and he's experienced. And obviously he was martyred for his faith. Which if I look at his life and how he lives, it seemed, I think, probably in his book, probably the best way to go. But incredible, very encouraging as well. But I want to have us read a bit out of Philippians 3 to just give us a bit of an understanding where he's coming from and why, you know, what, how has he approached life and what has contributed to him having this incredible life story. Don't worry, you'll see how it gets to the relationships in a moment. Before we read, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this incredible day that we can enjoy. Thank you that this is the day that you have made, God, and we rejoice and be glad in it, Lord. And thank you that we can be together as a family and we can sit down over your word, God, and we can eat together from your word, Father, because your word is life. And it's like fresh bread for us, Lord, and it nourishes us, Lord. And Holy Spirit, we welcome you in this place, and we thank you that you are our teacher, and we ask that you would come and break open the word to us, and you would come and nourish us, spirit, soul, and body, Lord. You would come and shape us and mold us and to make us more like Christ, Father. And that we open ourselves to your word, and we thank you for your presence in this place, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Philippians 3. Let's see what Paul has to say from verse 7. But what things were gained to me, these I've counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. If by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead, not that I have already attained, or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, it's one of my favorite scriptures that, but there, and it, the whole of it kind of gives us an idea of who this guy is, this guy who has this incredible life story, but we see that he's very focused. He's a focused individual. He's got only one thing in his mind. He's got his eyes set on the prize, and he's going 100%. He's pressing on. He's getting rid of everything that's slowing him down. He's leaving the stuff behind from the past, and he's going forward, and he's focused. And he's, what is powerful here is we see Paul is living out of a conviction. He's not just drifting in and out, you know, kind of letting the current take him. He's living with a very clear conviction. Firstly, of who he is, where he's coming from, where he's going. He knows where he's going. And he's going at it 100%. And we see that in different parts of his letters to the churches. Another bit, he talks about, you know, running the race to win. Another one, he talks about, you know, speaks about discipline his body, disciplining. And there's a lot of, you can see this guy is kind of focused. And it's kind of, I don't know, when I read that, I'm encouraged and inspired. But I ask at the same time, why is it that we often lack this kind of living out of that kind of conviction? Why? What is it, you know, we're often easily distracted by all kinds of things. And kind of things that distract us from this main thing, this main focus that we see so clearly in his life. Are you with me? So we're going to have a look at some of that and why that could be. And what I've found is, in life, you know, we often find ourselves having gone through a specific season or like kind of a stage in your life, and then when you kind of think ahead or you dream or you plan, there's this, like a logical next step that is kind of the logical thing. Like when you finish studying, it might be logical next step is kind of go for the dream job. Kind of got your dream job all lined up. You know what you want to do, and that's the logical next step. Or some of our lives, you know, if you're married, the logical next step maybe to start a family. But specifically tonight, I want to talk about those of us that are in a place where the logical next step is to have a relationship and to get married. If That in your mind is the logical next step. But I'm not going to talk specifically about us pursuing that. You know, for some of us it might be a career, might be a specific promotion that you're going after. But what I'm want to focus on is, it's interesting, whether we immediately enter that next phase, that logical next step, that seems logical to us. And so, for instance, you do get that amazing job and you're running straight into it, or you are married and you start a family and the kids are coming and you can't, you know, it's just going crazy. What often happens is receiving that blessing makes, and it kind of, before we know it, that blessing that we've received, or that next stage in our lives, that logical next step, has consumed our lives. It has become the focus point. But even more so, if that logical next step doesn't happen, and that's what I want to focus on. If you're thinking, okay, things haven't worked out as I thought they would, how do we handle that? And often, it's also then when that thing starts to consume our lives. And it becomes the kind of the center point of our faith walk often. And like I said, I don't want to just narrow it down just to relationships, because it can be anything. In many of our lives, it's not that. It's a career or it's something else. But you've kind of made up your mind about what this next step is, and I've experienced in my own life, you're going at it with everything you have. And you're putting, you know, we put our faith into it, we put our energy into it, all our focus goes into that. And the danger that we face then, that we're in the danger of actually missing God in completely in the season that we're in. We're so focused on something that we're thinking has to happen now, that we're missing God, and we're missing what He wants to bless us with right now, and where we're at right now. Okay, are you with me? And what happens, not only does this thing kind of become the center point, it also, we allow this thing to define us, and we allow it to shape how we look at ourselves. And so if it is, I can't get that job, then I'm thinking, yes, maybe that teacher at school is right. Maybe I am a failure. Maybe I won't amount to much in life. And you kind of start allowing that thing to shape who you are, instead of allowing the Word to define us. And so when this happens, what's basically happened is we have created an idol. Okay, we have fixed our eyes upon something, and we are so fixated with this thing, whether it be wanting to be in a relationship, or wanting to have children, or wanting to have that job or that promotion, that we have put this thing in the center of our lives, and this is the center of our faith walk, and Christ is kind of on the sideline. And this is a dangerous place, because Jesus will not share that place with anything or anyone. And so we at the, and when that happens, is this great danger of damaging our relationship with God very badly, and damaging even ourselves. Let me just clarify on that. When we allow something else to define us, okay, so for instance, these I things you get these days, everything is I something, okay, did it start with the iPod, I think, it started with the iPod, and now I've got iPhones and iPads, and I heard a rumor of iCar, I don't know what that's going to look like, but if somebody gave me an iPhone, for instance, that's not a hint, but if somebody gave me an iPhone and I thought, wow, this is cool, I'm not really sure what it does, and I use it as a doorstop, you know, kind of a door jam, there's this door at home, it's got a bit of a gap, and you kind of just jam it in there and kind of just make sure it goes in. You agree it will probably do the job? It'll stop the door? You don't think so? Yeah, okay. But, so what happens is it probably will damage it to a certain extent, but it'll still work well as a doorstop. But if I say now get all of the manual and I start to read what this thing is all about and what it has been designed to do and how the manufacturer what the manufacturer intended for it to do, I'm going to be amazed. And I'm going to say, oh my goodness, you know, I should approach this differently. And what happens in life when we use something for some, you know, in a different way than it was intended to be used, we normally damage it or we kind of destroy it completely. And the same thing with us. When we do not, when we let the world define who we are, and we let this desire or something else than Christ or the Word define us, then we're in danger of damaging, causing great damage and destruction in our lives. Because we're not going according to the manual. Are you with me still? Okay, still introduction. And so what we've done is we create an idol, we've got something that we're going for 100%, and we allow this thing to kind of consume our lives, and Jesus takes a back seat, and we've allowed that thing that was supposed to become a blessing for us is now become something that can even pull us away from God. So that's why I said it happens whether you receive the blessing or the next step, or whether you don't. It happens in both cases. It's quite interesting. Because say now you do, you meet that person, often suddenly that thing, that relationship is now the main thing. And Jesus has to kind of move over, because now there's this relationship. And all our time goes into it, and all our energy, and obviously that's to a certain extent natural, but Jesus can never be not at the center of our lives. Okay. Okay, so what has happened is that blessing is the thing that consumes us. And we've taken our eyes off the person that is the giver of the blessing, the giver of the gift, and we're kind of focusing on the actual thing or the blessing or the person or the relationship, whatever it may be in your life. And that is then a very, very possible threat to cause a lot of damage and a lot of destruction. So where I'm getting at is that whatever season we find ourselves in, okay, whether you are in a season where you're thinking the logical next step would be to enter into a relationship, you know, get married, have a family, or whether you're already married and you're kind of thinking of having children, wherever you're at, don't get bogged down with this thing that you are pursuing so passionately, or this thing that didn't turn out the way you thought it would, and now you're so desperately wanting to make it happen. And the big thing that I want to get across to us today is that wherever you're at, God has a purpose and a plan for you now, today. Yes, there is cool stuff lying ahead, and amazing relationships and amazing families and jobs and things that He has prepared for us. But He has a purpose and a plan for you and I now and today. And whatever it takes, don't miss out on that thing that is now, that is for this season and for now. Okay. Let's read from Psalm 139. Verse 13. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Incredible how we see what has gone into God creating us and with forethought and with design and with very purposeful intention. We spoke to the one guy on at the fair, and he's mentioned that he was illegitimate. And I thought to myself, we did actually mention it to him. We didn't spend much time on it, but a child cannot be illegitimate. It's just the parents can be illegitimate if they choose to, but the child can never be illegitimate because God has planned that child. God has not didn't go, whoa, my goodness, where did that come from? You know, God has created that human being, and He's got a plan and a purpose and a destiny for that child. So we have been fearfully and wonderfully made with purpose and intention. God has created each of us with incredible potential, and He has created us on purpose. It's not like, oh dear, that one slipped out by accident. It's not like that at all. In Jeremiah 29:11, you know very well, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." He has created you and I on purpose. It is for His desire for us to become fully that person that He has created you and I to become. And if we are running after something else and we are being consumed with this thing or that thing, we're not really going towards that prize, that goal that we see so clearly in Paul's life. But He has created us to become fully that in Christ. And whether you're in a relationship or married or not, or have children or not this evening, do not let these blessings become idols. Do not let them consume you. Okay. Now, I just want to address something quickly here. Sometimes in church, we unknowingly create the sense of the ultimate destination, the be-all and end-all of successful Christian life is to be married and have children and lots of children and grandchildren and all that stuff. And although it is blessed, that is far from really biblical. Obviously, there's pros and cons, and we're going to look at some of them. But this is not, you know, what I've seen even in our congregation in Joburg. Sometimes we get this false sense of this is the ultimate destination, and then what we find is this, a sense of shame if you're not there yet. It's kind of, I'm a second-rate citizen in the kingdom of God because I'm not married yet and I don't have 15 children, and I'm just not making the cut type of thing. Okay, but I just want to help us to get rid of that thing, because that's not the truth. In fact, Paul writes something quite strongly to the opposite effect. So I'm just going to read from 1 Corinthians, chapter 7, from verse 29. "But this I say, brethren, the time is short." Okay, he's talking about us approaching the end times, but this is now quite a long time ago, so the time is now much, much shorter. Okay. "But this I say, brethren, the time is short, so that from now on, even those who have wives should be as though they had none. Those who weep as though they did not weep. Those who rejoice as though they did not rejoice. Those who buy as though they did not possess. And those who use this world as not misusing it. For the form of this world is passing away. But I want you to be without care. He who is unmarried cares for the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he who is married cares about the things of the world, how he may please his wife. There's a difference between a wife and a virgin. Then the unmarried woman cares about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy, both in body and in spirit. But she who is married cares about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I say for your own profit, not that I may put a leash on you, but for what is proper, and that you may serve the Lord without distraction." Isn't that interesting? So if anything, Paul says, it's blessed to be married, but there's lots of distractions. And in fact, he's saying it's not so bad. He's saying it's great to serve God without those distractions. There's a measure that we can give ourselves to God. It's a different kind of measure when we're not yet in a place of being married and having children. So there's no shame on that. Okay, there's no, I'm apologizing for anything. This is it. This is where I'm at in my life. This is where I'm at in my walk with God. And I'm running at Him and with God 100%. I've got my eyes fixed on the prize. I know where I'm coming from. I know where I'm going to. And I know God is faithful to finish what He started. And this season, before coming into that relationship or before moving into marriage, is this season, I would say, we are more able to learn to focus on Christ than any other. More able to actually cultivate a healthy relationship with Scripture. I'll get into that now. I'm going to quickly read from John, 1 John chapter 2. Verse 14, I've written to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. I've written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you and you have overcome the wicked one. I'm going to just do that second bit. I've written to you, young people, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you and you have overcome the wicked one. Okay, if the enemy is trying to convince you that you're a second-rate Christian or believer or anything, well, look at what he writes here. He says, I've written to you, young people, because you are strong. This is the time to overcome. This is the time to walk in the purpose of God, to seek Him face to face, to see amazing things happen in the kingdom. This is the time in your life where you can, like I said, cultivate that incredible, intimate relationship with the Scripture. It's much harder to do that once you're married, once you're in that relationship. You know, Rolf said something the other day, which really challenged me again. You know, in any discipline, whether you're training for a race or whether you're studying for a degree or whatever, you know, we're very focused and disciplined. But when it comes to Scripture, often we have a bit of a casual relationship with Scripture. You know, we try and squeeze in 5 minutes here and 10 minutes there, maybe 15 minutes before we go to bed. But if you think about it, if I'm training for that other race, Anders and I did last year, you know, you and I know that 50 minutes a day is not going to cut it. In most disciplines, 50 minutes a day will get you nowhere. And somehow we think in the Scripture, you know, we're going to launch me into what God was got for me. In any case, that was for free. We are deceived if we believe that. But there's this incredible, this tone in the Scripture where he says, I've written to you, young men, young person, because you are strong. Let me read that, look at that again. Because the word of God abides in you, and because you've overcome the wicked one. It talks of victory, overcoming, you know, getting the word in you. You've got the word in you. You're going somewhere. You're going with a purpose. It's incredible, incredible season in our lives. Maybe, and what I want to say, whether you're married or not, whether you have children or not, follow hard after Christ. Follow hard after Jesus. And do not miss the reason for the season that you're in. And if that's a bit of a corny phrase, maybe you'll remember it. But don't miss the reason for the season, okay? Philippians 1, verse 3 to 6, Paul writes, he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you with all joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident in this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So we're following all after God, we're seeking Him, we're putting the word in us, we're establishing that relationship with Scripture. And he says here, we can have the confidence that God he will complete the good work that He has begun in us until the day of Jesus Christ. He will make it happen. So as we run after Him, as we follow out after Christ, He will complete the good work that He started in us. And then in chapter 2 there, Philippians, it says, therefore, my beloved, from verse 12, As you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So there's again, that's for me so evident of this season, you know, specifically before with deep relationships and marriage. There's a, you know, get in there, establish that intimacy, work out your salvation, get rid of the stuff that slows you down, get focused on God and run for what He's called you to do. And in my own life, I got to a stage in my early 20s when I reckoned, this is it, I'm ready. Ready for a relationship. My school friends were getting married, having children. You know, I was thinking, okay, this is it. I'm keen, you know. in fact, there was a drought in my life for 7 years. And there was no sign of any relationship for 7 years. And if I look back, it's funny because it was only when I started to be content with that season and I started to understand, okay, it's not going to happen now. There's other stuff that I need, what God has for me now. And the moment I started to take hold of those things that God had for me now and started to say, okay, Lord, this is great. I'm loving this. I'm going 100%. I'm making it happen. I'm fixing my eyes on you. Kind of saying, I actually once today said to God, okay, Lord, if this is not your plan, then I'm fine with that. I can run. And it's actually only at that place where the season shifted, when the season changed. When I had come to a place of saying, okay, this is great. I can run like this for a while. Being content in that season. Okay, I've distracted myself now. But now, okay. So another thing in this season is to become whole in God. Okay. When we obviously we always speak about my other half or somebody else being, have you heard of that, my other half? And some married people talk about their spouse. And actually that's not really cool or biblical because two half people are not really make any good relationship or marriage. Two whole people, yes, you can work with that. And that season leading up to relationship and marriage is the season where you and I need to become whole in Christ. Where we need to kind of firmly root ourselves in Christ, firmly establish our relationship with Him and our identity in Him, our identity in the Word, so that we can be whole, so that we can with confidence know we are in God and go into a relationship, not like a leech in a needing something, but giving. Going into a relationship, not with what can I get out of this, but how can I bless, how can I serve, you know, in a way that God has intended us to go into one. And I read a little quote this week. I think it was Andy Stanley that said it. He said, he also spoke on relationships, and he said, are you the person, and you need to get this one, okay? Are you the person who the person you are looking for is looking for? Does it make sense? Are you the person who the person you are looking for is looking for? In other words, you know, often, I don't know, I remember some of my friends at Varsity had like a list of stuff. I had some criteria, but you know, some guys had really lots of detail. I didn't have that much detail. But it wasn't necessarily, look, the Lord has blessed me beyond imagination. Amen? So often we have this criteria, but we hold this criteria next to us when we look into the mirror, kind of saying, no, this is the standard, it's there. But we don't hold ourselves to that same thing. But I'm not going to go into that this week. We're going to look more on some of that stuff, hopefully, in the next 2 weeks. But this is the season where, you know, you and I need to become everything God has created us to be. Obviously, you're not going to get to the end destination, but become whole in God and and seek after Him. And I want to specifically just mention something practical. You know, we all have those incredible things that we don't want to know about. They are called blind spots. We've spoken about them before. But this is also the season where you need to take have the freedom to go to somebody that you love, or more importantly, that loves you, a friend, and ask them about those blind spots. You know, whether we like it or not, sometimes people, when people talk, about somebody they love, they say, "Listen, oh, it's a pity about that thing that they do, because you know he'll never get a wife if he carries on like that." You know, I don't know, you guys didn't do that, I know. But, this is the season where you need to have the freedom just to go up to a friend and in confidence and say, "Listen, you got to be straight with me now. Tell me about those things that I do that irritate people and that alienate people and that my friends all know about, but nobody has the guts to talk to me about, you know. Tell me about that thing." And then your buddy will probably say, "Are you serious?" And then we kind of stand an arm's length away so that they can duck if you throw a punch. But you need to convince them that you're serious and that you're not going to interrupt or defend yourself or get all upset and angry, and just hear them out. And often things obviously come out that we don't want to hear. Maybe they'll say, "Listen, the reality is you need to just shut up sometimes. You know, you talk so much, it freaks everybody out. You know, in fact, you need to talk 95% less. You know, you need to just bring down the volume and you know, cut down on the talking. You know, and you know, little things like that can really ruin a relationship right in the beginning. You know, so have the freedom to go to someone, but don't, you know, Bible says two or three witnesses, so receive what they have to say. Don't fight about it, and then go to somebody else that also knows you very well and ask them, "Listen, I'm kind of getting to know some of my blind spots." Don't have them tell you all of them at once. Do like two or three for a start. And then go to another friend and say, "Listen, this a friend of mine or somebody has alerted me of this thing. Is it true?" You know, get confirmation. Ask, confirm it with somebody. And if they confirm it, if they say, "Listen, I'm so glad that somebody's told you this, because yes, you need to cut down on the talking. And while you're at it, just clean up your room." In any case, and your car. But and then once you have got all of some of those blind spots, make a plan and work at them, and have somebody. And they can be very deep and spiritual as well. I've just gone for very practical ones now, but. Have somebody hold you accountable for those things. Go after a few months and ask them, "Listen, how are we doing?" And they tell you, "No, still an issue. Still talking the ears of my head. You know, no progress." You have to change your game plan. But in any case, so there's a real process of growing in a practical way. The amazing thing is this continues in marriage, but then you don't have to go and ask. It's just the feedback just comes. It's a great blessing. But that, you know, beforehand, you need to go to someone and ask them, and you know, be sincere and don't fight with them. Okay, are you with me? But this is the season where the Bible talks of you as strong, having overcoming the evil one. There's victory, there's progress, there's growth. It's really an exciting season to be in. Now, part of the reason why we see Paul having this incredible life story, well, I believe the reason is that we see this incredible focus that he has. And he's following 100% after God. He's running for the prize. He's like I said, he's got this single-minded purpose. And when your life story, like Paul's life story, is happening, and you're running after God, and you're seeing him transforming your life, and you're being victorious in things that he's bringing across your path. When that life story is happening, and you know you're focused on going somewhere, then it's so easy for somebody to to come alongside somebody that's also somebody, that girl or that guy, who's running after God with the same passion, with the same commitment, 100%. It's so easy for that person to come alongside you and, you know, just, this person is, you're attracted, etc. But it's so much easier because you're already going in the same direction. Whereas if you're desperately trying to make a love story happen, but you're not really going anywhere, there's no purpose in your life, you're kind of just drifting this way and that way, it's kind of going to be chaos from the start. Are you getting what I'm at? Often we focus on making the love story happen, making that thing happen that we so desire, and we kind of shoot ourselves in the foot from the start because we're drifting this way and that way, and there's no real purpose in our lives. But when we're running for God, 100%, and we need somebody else that's running for Him also 100%. We're also really going in the same direction, and now that love story is going to happen, and it's going to be blessed, and it's going to be successful because we've got two people not focusing on that thing, focusing on Christ, running up for Him, following hard after Him, and now kind of there's just more momentum, there's just more blessing, there's more purpose, where if it's the other way around, it can just make the wheels come off. Okay, are you understanding what I'm saying? So, make that life story happen. Desire God, seek after Him, run hard after Him, and then whatever blessing God wants to add is not going to derail you, it's not going to slow you down, it's just going to add momentum. It's just going to, increase your momentum as you follow Him. In Psalm 63:1-5, I believe it's David writing, "O God, You are my God, early will I seek You. My soul thirsts for You. My flesh longs for You in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for You in the sanctuary to see Your power and Your glory, because Your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise You. Thus I will bless You while I live. I will lift up my hands in Your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise You with joyful lips." We see this guy is got, he's desiring God 100%, and he's in any situation, and we see that in David's life. In any difficulty, yes, he goes through hectic times and he goes through ups and downs, but because his desire is for God, because he's searching after Him and he's desiring God, he can worship God and praise Him and enjoy God, enjoy life, enjoy the season that he's in. Because of that thing that is established and fixed and is sure and rooted, and it will not shake him. Because he is seeking the kingdom with all that he has. And I want to encourage you with that this morning. God has got that fullness of life that we see in the scripture, that abundance of life. That life which Jesus said, "I've come that you may have abundant life, and life more than abundantly." God is there for us here now today, as we see God after Him. And as we keep our eyes upon Him, as we keep our eyes on Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith, whatever blessing He wants to add, whether it be that job or that career or that person, is just going to add momentum. It's just going to add to that. It's just going to propel you more towards your destiny. It's not going to slow you down or get you to go off track. And like in any successful business or endeavor, people like to say, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. Have you heard that before? To know where you're going and to keep the main thing the main thing. And as we fix our eyes on Him, and that's the same, And it's easy for me to say now, I'm only having baby next month. Very excited about that. But so you might have to throw this word back at me in a month or two's time. But, when the blessings come, when the relationships come and the marriage comes and the kids come, don't allow those blessings to to sidetrack you or to define you or to get you off track. Keep the main thing the main thing. We're going to have communion tonight. If you want to stand with us as we just pass out the elements. And as we just handing out the communion, I just want you to we get quiet before God, and you might have something in mind that next step, whether it is, as we're going to focus on, whether it is relationship or marriage, or whether it is a job or a promotion or having children or etc., or making a move in terms of, a lot of us have plans of maybe going back to South Africa, or moving countries, etc. Whatever that is, that logical next step, I want you to just be quiet before God for a moment and just to bring it before God and say, Lord, if you're convicted, or show me if this thing is consuming my life, if this thing has become the main thing. Thank you. And I really believe God wants to just convict us this evening of anything, any blessing or anything that we're even looking forward to, whether we have received it or haven't received it, that is has become an idol in our life, has become something that we focus on so much. We put in so much energy, we put in so much faith into it, but God is saying, how can I give this to you if it's going to take you away from me? How can I bless you with something that's going to take your heart away from me? So let's just be quiet for a moment or two, and let's just trust God to show us.